Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised. Trigger warning, this episode contains graphic crime.
In 1949 in December, the Lutz family was sitting in their little country home. It was JT, his wife Hazel, their six kids, and she was pregnant with another baby. And they're just listening to the radio. He was in bed. All the kids were in there. It was just a tiny, like, two-room country house.
So every little cabin.
Yes, everybody was in together. And all the children were, like, school age or younger. In the west window, all of a sudden, somebody just walked up outside and just shot a shotgun. Just blasted
through the window.
It hit JT. And then it hit some in Hazel, but just Hazel's hand, thankfully. And then it hit the wall behind. The kids were not harmed whatsoever. They were literally sitting there shocked, just like stunned. Like, what in the fuck just happened? Because they're young kids. So they
little.
Yeah. Right. Like, one of the people on a podcast I listened to about this, she was just like 10 months old at the time. So she doesn't have any recollection of it like happening, but she remembers something happening.
Yeah.
So these are all really little kids. He was hit in the forehead and with at least 25 pellets recovered from his chest.
So he took a lot of them.
Yes, he was sitting probably closest to the window. So the thing is, it was raining really hard that night. So immediately the crime scene was absolutely trampled.
Just footprints everywhere.
And where exactly, and where the killer had stood, footprints gone. Those are gone. So they bring some hounds in and they tracked through the night to next door to a house. And they took that man into custody. And then they took two cousins into custody, but ended up letting them all go.
What was the motive for this?
I'm guessing the two cousins had something to do with the neighbor because the bloodhounds tracked a scent to the neighbor's house.
Okay.
But the thing is, that's the neighbor.
Right.
He could have been coming over. He might have had nothing to do with it whatsoever. Right. Miss Lutz was fine. Her hand was kind of messed up the rest of her life, but she came home a few hours later. The thing is, though, JT had given prosecution evidence in a theft case. There was some wire that had been stolen from a church house, and he worked for the man that stole it.
Oh.
So he had given this over to the police, and people had even warned him he could be in danger. But he was like, I'm not worried about it. We're going to be okay. Well, the night of the shooting, a man named John Jones, who was a photographer for the paper there, came out to the house. And as soon as he got there, he saw the crime scene. He saw how they were literally destroying it. Like, he said out loud to himself, they're destroying this place.
He was like, this is no good.
And so, and he was like, this will never be solved. Like, they've ruined all of their evidence that they could have had. So with his position at the paper and the paper kind of backing him, there's also the Tennessee Press Association he was a part of, and they owned a lot of newspapers across the state. So they started pushing for a statewide police agency. And finally, the governor kind of got word of it. And in 1951, he signed a legislation that created the Tennessee Bureau of Criminal Identification. And the thing was, Jones was like, this can still get wrapped up in politics. Like, we need to have a police force that is completely free and independent of all other branches, that is its own police force. So
FBI, but for just war.
Right. So he pushed on, and in 1980, he actually achieved getting the statewide law enforcement agency called the TBI.
Tennessee Bureau of Investigation.
But if you notice, that crime happened in 1949. It took 30 years to get the TBI. But
bureaucracy moves slow.
Yeah. But that's how the TBI was formed, because this murder.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. This murder, like if this
they were
photographer
like,
hadn't showed up, then.
Yeah. This the standards aren't being met here because they don't know any better. We need somebody who can say this is
not okay. Right. Yeah. I love that. The house is torn down. From what I understand, like it truly was just like a little shack.
How close was the neighbor?
I don't think it was close. I think about a mile away is
what
it said.
Okay, so it's pretty far.
Yeah, it's not close. It was out in the woods, just a country cabin. There wasn't much around at the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And a lot of the children are still living. They've actually, I listened to a little bit. The one I went to listen for the last name, one of the sons, the younger kids are still alive. So they don't really remember as much. But
yeah.
Someone just walked up and shot him, but
that's awful.
If that awful thing hadn't happened, then the TBI wouldn't have been kind of started to.
That's very interesting.
So there we go.
Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.